throw open tonight to open discussion instead of going ahead either in... Mesillas Yeshayahu wanted to first speak about Midos, and I really want the Yeshiva boys to be here when I do that. And, right. People here don't need that, really, because you're lost cases anyway. But there's still hope for these young guys.
You've been hanging around with
Rafal. Is that what you've been for?
You've been hanging around with...
Sure.
You've been hanging around with Rafal too long.
Are those machines on?
Not Rafal.
So, and with the halacha, we're really going to start a new, pretty, not complicated, but involved inyan of Dover Chorif. And tonight I wanted to give a hakadoma to it. So we'll wait with both those things, I think, considering all the ghosts that are here and these empty chairs. So we will want to dedicate this year, first of all, for the whatever we do tonight, for Fuhr Shlema, for Yosef Sholom ben Chaim Moshe, and Shoshana Chaya Bas Golda. And what's it called? So if anybody has anything they'd like to discuss, ask. Except for David.
We can discuss David.
Anybody? Otherwise, you're going to get David. Okay.
Well, frankly, what the problem is with Orbach chickens. With
Orbach chickens. Only what's it called? Let me go over again what I know about kashrus here. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, I thought that I had to do whatever the Moetza Dati told me to do, because since they were paying a good portion of my salary, they pretty much decided. Can I get this other one?
I was just going to request it. Be careful to thump down and burn yourself. Thank you.
Okay. And they made me in charge of kashrus in Matei Binyamin, because as a fool I told them that I was a representative of the Chafkei in America. So I said, oh great, so and here I became very much aware of the fact that things are different here than they are in the States. In the States I'd never give a heksher to anything or was involved in the heksher I wouldn't eat. But over here, it's accepted that there are two levels of hechsherim, and even very reliable people give both levels, and they wouldn't eat from the lower level. For instance, Rabbi Rubin in Rehovot, or now it's not Rabbi Rubin anymore, it's Rav Simcha Cook. So Rehovot has two hechsherim. There's the Mahadran hechsher, and then there's the regular hechsher, and they're both by the same people, same exact people. So Manushach, either it's reliable or it's not reliable. But they have a sheet over here, which I can't say I disagree with 100%. Okay, the sheet is that since this is a Jewish country, and there's a lot of Jews over here, okay, and there are people who would keep kosher if it was convenient for them. If it's not convenient, right, they're not going to go bedavka to eat treif, but if they can't get the kosher, they'll go to something that's not kosher. So therefore, for these people, if you make it too hard for them, right, they're going to end up eating treif. So therefore, the Rabbanut has a shita, and you have to follow that, because that's part of the, something that's under the law, I think, that they will give a heksher to things that are not necessarily accepted by everybody, but there is a shita that's okay, they'll say it's okay. Or if there's a minimal standard that is okay halachically, but it's not the best standard. I'll give you two examples in a second. They'll accept that too. I'll give you two examples. One, gelatin. Okay, animal gelatin. Animal gelatin, no reliable heksher in America accepts animal gelatin as kosher, even the kosher variety. Because it's a big machlokus. There were very chashiv poskim who held it's okay if it made a certain way, and there are many poskim who said it's not okay. Amongst the poskim who say it's not okay is Moshe Feinstein, Rav Aaron Kotler, and amongst the poskim said it's okay. So Chaim Ozer was nice, very fine posek, and he held that it was okay if prepared a certain way. And the Rabbanut in Mahadrin Hechsherim doesn't accept that because there's a lot of poskim who say it's not okay. But in their regular Hechsher, they use products with gelatin because many products use gelatin, and if they wouldn't give a Hechsher, there'd be many products people couldn't get, these run-of-the-mill things. So they give a Hechsher with a Rabbanut regular, gives a Hechsher to kosher animal gelatin. Today it's much easier because there's fish gelatin, there's other possibilities. There used to be no other possibility. Either it was trade, or it was kosher in question mark, in parentheses, in quotation marks, kosher gelatin, and in the regular Hechsher they give that. In their Mahadran Hechsher, and they won't give a Hechsher to that. Another thing. It's okay halachically to have somebody who's not frum run a restaurant, and to have a mashgiach who comes in once in a while, you know, spot checks. That's halachically acceptable, but it's really, practically speaking, not very reliable, because in a restaurant things can go wrong every moment of the day. They can bring things in, and for a mashgiach to come in a factory where they have only certain ingredients they use, and you come and spot check to see if they have other ingredients, and nothing really can go wrong except them using the wrong ingredients. That's fine. Most hechsherim rely on spot checks when it comes to those kind of things. But a restaurant, lamish cooking constantly, and there's constant things that could go wrong, to have a spot check is not practically okay, but it's halachically okay. But the maisa, it's, if you want to really know that it's kosher, you know, it's very big chance that things go wrong. So in the regular Rabbanut, they give hechsherim to shawarma places, to restaurants that are not frum, people are not frum who run it, but the mashgiach, spot checks, comes in a few times a day, a few times a week, whatever it may be. So there's two levels of hechsherim. The first level is basically passable, halachically, better that people should eat this, even though it may be some things that are kulas or not according to everybody, or not 100% practically speaking okay, but better eating this than if they don't give hechsherim to these restaurants. They're not going to go to the Mahadran restaurant. They're going to end up going to the ones without any hechsherim and eat trade. But somebody who's really makbid, so if you call the Roth, he'll tell you, for you, this is not for you. You should be eating the Mahadran things. Rav Kook will tell you that if you call him in Rehovot. So I always tell people, right, the non-Mahadran Hechsher in Rehovot, you can trust Rav Kook that it's not Mahadran. If he tells you it's not Mahadran, you can believe him, right? 100%. He's telling you that this doesn't fit up the standards of L'chatchila Kashrus. It's a B'di'evit. But it's better that people who would eat treif should eat B'di'evit kosher. So when I first came here, I was involved in that, and I had to give a Hechsher, but I felt very uncomfortable. I won't eat it here, right, because it accepts every Rabbanut Hechsher, which may be okay, may not be okay, things that I wouldn't accept as okay. So what I did is, I remember there was a place in Beit Horon, at that time it was like, you know, a caravan was the restaurant, and the whole Beit Horon was caravans. I remember the bus used to turn around over there to get up on the road. So I gave a Hechsher there, and I put a disclaimer. I can only guarantee that everything that comes in here has a Hechsher. I can't guarantee that those Hechsherim are okay. The guy said to me, what are you trying to do? Tell people not to eat here? What, you know what, you're a Marav Masri, you put up a sign like that, right? You're going to chase people away. So I realized that I better not have anything to do with Kashrus here, and then I found out that I could say no. So I did, and they got other people to take care of it, probably doing a much better job than me, Then I started working for the Chaf K here, which was good because I got to know Rabbi Harlap, because the Chaf K took care of me, a lot of awesome things. So I had to go together with him to check for the Chaf K to be their mashgiach and to okay the awesome things. And I got to know him, and I got to go as Hechsher, and I found out that it was a lot better than a lot of the other Mahadran Hechsheru. Rav Harlap, a lot more reliable person, the father, Olav HaShalom. The son is following his father's footsteps, and it's a fine Hechsher. And the Lashon Hara they heard from people that supposedly are reliable people about it, I knew weren't true. I knew firsthand. but they weren't true. So that was a benefit. But after I got out of that also, because here in Eretz Yisrael it's very confusing kashrus-wise. So therefore, I, early on, somebody, I don't remember who it was, it may have been Rav Kalman Kahana, I don't remember, somebody though that I trusted told me, you have to go and find somebody here that you trust in kashrus, who's not involved personally in any heksher, because otherwise he's no gay abadover, and but who knows what he's doing, and rely on him. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, don't be afraid, politics, whatever. So he suggested that I go to Rav Nesher. Rav Nesher is the son of Rav Nesher, who was the head of kashrus for the Rabbanut, who I had in a big run in when I first came here, together with Rav Dovrat. Because when I came here, they were eating bazooka gum in, this is before they had an OU, in Mavoh Charon. And I told our kids here they can't eat it, because I know that bazooka gum was made in America under the hechsher of the Triangle K. At that time it wasn't called the Triangle K. And it was mamish, very, very unreliable. The shortenings they used were shortenings that were okayed by Rabbi Ralbag. And I personally checked out those shortenings in Georgia, and there was no hechsher on them. They made in the same equipment, they made trefa stuff, and he had all kinds of convoluted heterium for how to do it. And they were using those shortenings in this gum. So I told the kids here they couldn't eat it, and sure enough they told their friends in Mavoh Charon that in Matit Yo we don't eat that gum. So Rav Dovrat called me. Rav Dovrat, by the way, is probably one of the most honest medactic people I ever met in my life. So if he tells me something's okay, it's okay. That's that you can know. Right? As long as he says it's Mahatma. It's not Mahatma, same problem as the other thing is Rav Kook. But Nagis Rav Dovrat called me, and he didn't tell me, how come you're not letting kids eat bazooka, whatever, has a hechsher Rabbanu? He told me, what do you know about it? Right? I don't want our kids to eat it either if there's something wrong with it. So tell me what the problem is. And I explained to him exactly what the problem was. He said, then the Rabbanut has to hear about this. So he took me with him, and we went to see Rav Nesher, the father. And I remember staying there. I said, you know, he said, Rav Dovrat said that Rav says he knows where this bazooka gum comes from. It's made in the States. And it's made under a hashgacha that they don't accept there, and that all the major hashgachas don't accept, and they use shortenings around here. So Rav Nesher said, yeah, we know. We're working on it. Meanwhile, the kids are chewing the gum, but we're here. I said, and he said also, he said, then if you don't accept that, then you probably don't accept gelatin either. I said, right. And he said, then you can't eat most of the products that the Rabbanu gives actually here. He said, but we hold it's okay. Because Reb Chaim Ozer, I said, yeah, well, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Aaron Cutler. He says, look, you're telling me Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Aaron Cutler. I'm telling you Reb Chaim Ozer is a little bit bigger than those two people. And so we ended knowing we didn't agree. And Rav Dovrat, and after that, didn't let the kids use bazooka. He was like shocked to hear that, yeah, we know it's a problem, but we're working on it. But you're working on it, but the kids are chewing the gum. So he stopped them from chewing bazooka gum at the time. Now it's got an OU hechsher, and it's not that same short. It's okay now. So at that point, what's it called? I picked the son, Rav Nesher's son. He is not involved in any hechsher. He had a lot of shimush by his father and practical things. And he has no negias in anything. He runs a kashrus watchdog kind of thing, not over other hechsherim, but as gives information to other people. He was here, he spoke here.
Right. Yeah.
And he will tell me like it is. Now, Baruch Hashem, looks like I went to Rav Nesher's son, my son. I don't have the time, but the Shimi now is my liaison with him. Got to know him very well, and he'll tell him anything, and some things he won't tell me. He tells Jimmy. So I, and what's it called? When I need to know something, he'll tell me. He'll tell me that, you know, the information didn't come from me or whatever, if it's very sensitive or whatever. But, and I have a few other people also that, like that, and that. So Orbach Chickens, Rav Nesher told me, he was there many times. And even though there are people in Shari Chesed that use it, because it's Rav Zalman Orbach's son. And he's a very reliable person. But the standards they have in that Schlachthuis, it's a very big Schlachthuis, are not up to what we would consider Mahadran standards, for various reasons. So he suggested to me that we don't use it. There's other chickens, right? And now there's even chickens that are similarly as cheap or cheaper. And now especially that the OU chickens are okay, right? And that's basically based on Rabbi Belsky, and that's where I had a real inyan, because Rabbi Belsky, who I trust, mamish 100%. Know him, he's a, not only is he a bucky and kashrus, but he's obviously reliable, big Talmud Chacham. And he told me that he personally said the OU chickens, he knows he was here, he knows what's going on, he knows the people involved. He said in the beginning it may have been a problem. They fixed up the problem, they changed the person who's responsible, and he vouches for it personally 100%. That's right. So Rav Nesher told me, but Rav Nesher told me when it was under different hands or whatever. So with that I resolved the stira, and Lamaisa, we use the OU chickens. So nothing has changed. I checked a few times with Rav Orbach's chickens. The standard is still the same. There's still certain things that, and personally, like, won't help for me to go there. I'm not a shochet. I don't have smich and shechita. Right? So I'm not bucky in these things. You know, Rav Chalap used to tell me, you know, people have no shaychus to kashrus. They walk into a plant, look around, everything's okay to me. He said, you know, he says, I'm not the badach. They have their olam haba in their back pocket, he used to tell me. He said, but I don't have my olam haba. I got to know what I'm doing. He said, and you have to know what to look for in a plant. What's it called? So there are a lot of people, not good-meaning people, frum people, whatever, big Talmid Chacham, they have no idea what they're looking at. They don't know the difference between a pipe that oil goes through or whatever. And they give hechsherim. And he said, very nice people, but the hechsher is not a good hechsher. So this is one situation like that. Rav Orbach is a very liable person. Therefore, in things that have nothing to do with shechitas ofos, where the standards are, you have to pick the standards, and the standards they have there are not, that's what he said, not up to Mahadran. But other things, the wine, some of the restaurants that are parav or milk, there's no problem with Rav Orbach. But this specific thing was a problem. And it hasn't changed, to the best of my knowledge. I didn't check recently because people have been bugging me about it, and I used to check every once in a while, but now that we have the flesh, which is even much cheaper, and there's also kehilos or whatever, so it's not so important anymore to dafki use Orbach chickens. There's plenty of other chickens that are...
You might check them okay. out
and
see if they're okay.
What?
The prices are very, very cheap.
Who, kehilos?
Yeah.
Yeah, kehilos is... The people involved with them are... What I understand is okay.
So... Yeah, my experience in life is when something's too good to be true...
It's not true. Right. Yeah, but here there's reasons why things are more expensive and why things can be done less expensive. And it has nothing to do necessarily with the kashrus. So that's the story with Orbach chickens. And nothing has changed, and I haven't really checked into it in a long time because there's other options, and it's not necessary anymore. Used to be people used to call me from Orthomosha. Has anything changed with Orbach chickens? Because the prices were tremendous. There was only Reuben or Badach, and then there was Orbach, and the prices were like almost half. And that I used to check every once in a while, and nothing ever changed.
The question is, what happens when you go to your friend's house? Okay, it's okay, fine, so you got a restaurant.
So that's what I told people here. I don't remember who I told recently. These things aren't treif. Some of them are better than some of the American hechsherim altogether. Right? But they're not up to the standard. Since we live here in Israel, and there is Mahadran things, and you can get something that doesn't have at least even some of the minimal problems. But even things that have minimal problems are kosher. Right? There may be some trash in them. Hidder or whatever, not treif. So in situations where it would cause shalom bayis problems or eva problems, or a person has to go, then these kind of things that are basically mahadran, like Beis Yosef, like the ones that we don't use are Chasam Sofer or Bach chickens. I tell people usually that you can use it. It's on a regular basis. There's better things to use. That's
you go to chasen, and you find out there's serving. Right, you don't have to eat the chasen.
I understand, but it's eidech adem bisurin. We're talking about mahadim. We're talking about reliable people. We're not talking about somebody who's a fly-by-night thing. That we don't like the standards that much. It would be almost apikursis, not to be somech on what the Torah says, okay, in a case where you're not doing it on a regular basis and it's a one-time thing. On the other hand, some people ask me about things that are not reliable. In other words, they're not mahadrin at all, and there are serious problems, and the Rabbanut wasn't so, what I checked, weren't so ay-ay-ay either in knowing what to look for or to be reliable themselves. In those case situations, we probably shouldn't use it. Each thing is a separate thing. But things that are a national hechsherim, like B'dat Shlis Yosef, Chassam Sofer, right? But regular local rabbaniyot that take care of places. And my information on them is that they're not so reliable, and they don't even claim to be mahadrin. They're across the board, just regular hechsher, which means that there could be a lot of problems. There, you don't say this.
What about Mahadrin Tel Aviv? Net Arab Flowers is the one who came to Tel Aviv.
Mahadrin Tel Aviv?
Mahadrin Tel Aviv.
We usually say it's okay. Once it's a Mahadrin there, they have very fine mashgichim there. The people who are involved.
What's with this KF? That's not on our...
That's on the...
It's on the on list.
It's on the list.
Rav is on the list. No? Yeah, I saw it.
I think it is.
That's Rav. What's
his name? You don't have emails. You get the list.
No. It's Rav Lichtenstein. The KF. He's okay.
It's on the list.
It's KF. It's Lichtenstein. It's okay.
Go next door to Tav and get one of these
prints.
It's
a new list that came out.
No, it was always on the list. I think it was always on the list.
KF is never on
that. Right. Yeah, Momo Shorts is there.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, you think?
No. That's KFC.
KFC.
Oh.
KFC is okay. Right. Okay. Kentucky
Fried Chicken is the official
from the Mashkir.
Manchester.
Right, the guy who had that. The colonel looks like him. He was pretty crooked.
It's too, Manchester was on the
KFC. Okay. Any, I'm 99% sure. It's okay anyway. Okay, if it's okay.
So who's in charge of the kilos? Kilos?
Kilos.
It was, I think Rav Efrati had something to do with it, not officially. Originally, it was, who was it? I don't remember now.
There's Rav Efrati's name on signs in the store.
Right. He had something to do with it. It wasn't directly under him, but it was under people that were alive, I think. There was a little bit of problem because it was a mitzchare with other hechsherim, which were not happy about it.
Does Rav Nishra have like an internet site?
I don't think so. his organization is pretty schwach. I don't know what he's doing for a living. I mean, he's living in Bechlau. Because it became... but he still is...
Freelance.
What?
Freelance.
Yeah, he's a freelance, but it's more like a...
a
place for information where people can get... He goes to places, checks out things or whatever, and people rely on him to give them hadrocha, the shkochas.
Do they pay him?
I guess for the things he does, the specific, yeah. What's the word I'm looking for? He's like a information bank. There's a word for that.
Clearinghouse?
Clearinghouse. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much.
Maybe
he takes products. When I was a mashgiach for the, you can see how, for the Moitza, so a lot of the concerns were Arab in Ramallah. In those days, you could drive through Ramallah on the way to Beit El, go through the middle of Ramallah. Remember those days before the Intifada? And they had, so I used to go like once every 2 weeks to Ramallah to a place that made, I think, drinks. I don't remember what it was, an Arab place. And I remember one time came there and the guy said, we have a special Nifza now that for. What's it called, contest or whatever, and we have some extra bicycles. Would you like bicycles for your children? I told him, I'm sorry, but if I give hashgacha to something, I'm not allowed to take anything from you. Surely not. My kids' mamas would curse me out. That's a good beautiful bicycles they could have had. And I thought, I'm sorry, but I'm really not allowed to take it. And I could see the guy was a little upset because, like, that was understood that, you know, you give the mashgiach things and he, you know, reciprocates, right? It's reciprocated. So I never had problems with these people, but after the intifada, they stopped giving yachsherim to these places, and it's sakonis nefoshes to go into there. It's, yeah, he has a shul. I think it was his father's shul, in fact. I went there, they had a yard site for his father. I went there, and he had a lot of choshuva people speak over there, and he is a rav of the shul, but that's also a, I don't know how much being a rav of a shul in Yerushalayim is a parnasa.
It's next to Masar Rav Kook.
Right, but it's in Masar Rav Kook. It's a part of it's like off to the side there. So yeah, he's the rov of that kehila, but I don't think he can make a parnasa from that. Right? It's like, you know, a rov of a kehila in a big city, unless because his father was involved in the rabbanut, maybe he got grandfathered in and more than just stam rov. That could be. I didn't really check his tax returns.
What happened to Rav Rubin? Why did they separate?
Why? What? Because they've made a law that somebody who's involved in private hechsherim can't be involved with the rabbanut hechsherim too. So they had to split up. Rav Kook gives the hechsherim to the city, and Rav Rubin's only involved in the in Rav Rubin's hechsher, whatever it's called, Mahadran hechsher, I think it's called, private. He couldn't work for the rabbanut. He was working for the rabbanut and had a private hechsher too. And they came out with a law a few years ago that you can't do that.
Only Chavei Chesed can do that.
The rabbanut means all the restaurants in the
Rav. All the restaurants and they're on the Rav Kook. I think Rav Rubin's still involved with them, but not officially. Well, Rav Simcha Kook. Yeah, he's 100% reliable too. But he's reliable enough to tell you that if it's not Mahadran, you can believe him. And it's not Mahad.
We don't.
We use. There are restaurants in Rehovot that are Mahadran restaurants. They're 100% okay. The ones that are not, not okay. Even though they have Rav Kook's name on it. Rav Rubin now doesn't have anything that's not Mahadran because it's not Rabbanut. It's his own Hechsher and he only gives Mahadran Hechsher. Used to give regular Hechsherim to it because he was part of the Rabbanut of Rehovot. But he no longer works for them officially, and therefore he only gives Mahadran actually. It's very confusing here. In the States, much much less confusing, because they are all the major hashgachas accept each other. The OU accepts the Chav K and the OK and the Star K, pretty much with very little exceptions to that. They pretty much accept each other's hashgachas. And there's like a certain kind of, you know, unspoken agreement that if they find something wrong, they'll tell the Hechsher privately, but they won't, you know, start, you know, saying this Hechsher is no good, because every Hechsher has problems. Every single Hechsher has problems. Except you don't hear about it. And I remember once, when I was still in love with the Chav K, it was Shemitah. And by mistake, they used some kind of oil that may have been svichin. It's a big shayla. Some kind of, it's cottonseed oil. I don't remember exactly what it was. Osem used it. So Rav Charlap was involved, and Rabbi Center came in, and we went to Rav Eliyoshiv and put the shayla in front of him. What, you know, is it osir's milk? Could have been completely osir. Big, big amount of. So Rav Eliyoshiv said, in the end, it's okay. But the Eved, it's okay, right? The Chatchili wouldn't have said to use it, but the Eved, it's used already, it's in the product's okay. And we asked him, do we have to publicize that's only Bidi Eved? Somebody doesn't want to be somach on that, right? He doesn't want to use something that Bidi Eved. Rav Eliyoshiv, no, I told you it's okay. So you have a psak that Bidi Eved, it's okay for you. For other people, it's a Chatchili. I told you it's okay, I'm finished. You don't have to publicize anything. Okay, so we didn't publicize it, it was okay. But then we found out that the same oil was used for Badat's products. But you never heard about that. Right? So the same problem that this one had, but, you know, some of them fix a problem and they keep it quiet. So it was okay in the end. What? was okay too, but I'm saying that even the Badatz has problems, that things go wrong. Except they don't publicize it that often, and so you don't know. But it's no, there's no Hechsher that doesn't have problems. So people tell me, well, this Hechsher, I found this problem, that, it's fine. So, and you can find problems in any Hechsher, then you shouldn't use any Hechsher. Everything is fine. People have problems in your kitchen too. That means you don't close up shop and stop cooking. I see a problem, so you go on. Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, nothing's perfect in this world. The problem is, if it happens all the time, and they don't care, then it's a big problem. That happens because of quirk. So it's a quirk.
What about other people that would want to know?
Why should they want to know? If Leoshev said it's okay, it's okay.
But if he told this group that it's Vidya, then these people would also want to know if it's Vidya. Like, how do you know?
The truth is, that's what I thought he was going to say, but he didn't. He said, once you have a psak on it, so for you it's okay to give a hefshir on b'diyeb, meaning after the fact, it's okay. If it's okay, then it's okay to let people use it. And you don't have to make them worry and make the person lose. What's going to happen is that people won't buy it because they want to be extra frum. And these people who went to the trouble of what you call spending and investing money are going to lose money. It's not fair to make these people lose money because somebody wants to be extra frum. When it's not necessary.
People want to be more
mocked. No, but that's so you can tell people whatever. But here, it has a psak that it's okay. So it's okay.
And so somebody's allergic to cottonseed or whatever it was that they used inside.
No, so there, I mean, it said, no.
It says
on the thing, right. So I didn't know there was a problem with it. And it actually said it's okay. So he said, I'm telling you, you can tell them it's okay. You don't have to tell them that there were any problems or whatever.
Yeah. I said, there is a humor.
Isn't there an
Inyan
that
Rav
says it's okay, and
that
kind of makes it okay?
Right. Yeah, that's what Eliyashiv said. Right. Okay, look, if I said it, there's a different story. Eliyashiv said it, you know. I'm not going to argue with him.
There seems to be, I guess it's a natural phenomenon that if at any point historically people didn't want to accept certain hashgachas, for example, the OU. For whatever reasons, and then things change, but the world doesn't know that things change. I mean, the Rav knows because you know, it's got in with certain people, but the Hamon Am doesn't know anything. And
yeah, true. Okay, that's why you have to have somebody. Right, look, I have somebody that I trust. You have to have somebody. Usually, the person that you have to have that you trust is the Rav of your place. And if you don't trust them, you should move to another place. Or get rid of the rub. I don't. That second thing was not the.
Video.
Really, video.
Theoretical.
No, we're not talking about somebody people trust or not trust who they trust. They just want to be extra machmir. But sometimes being extra machmir is just based on old knowledge.
Right. So what's the question? So therefore, what? Everybody should publicize whatever they know about.
Well, but that's really what the question is. How do you get rid of that kind of situation?
You know what's it called? I remember in high school, Rabbi Groner, should be well, is not well, told me a vort. We closed the class a vort. I never forgot. It's like the question is that by Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to say kachatzos halayla, right? Because maybe the clocks would be wrong. And midnight would come on the Egyptian clocks, and the Makkah wouldn't come. People would say, Moshe Badoyu, he's a liar. So the obvious question is, 5 minutes later, 12:05, the Makkah's going to come. So they could say Moshe Badoyu all they want. 5 minutes later, all the Bechoros are going to die. So they realize the clocks were wrong. What's the big deal? So the Shuri Das has an answer to that. He has a different answer, he said. And he told us a story. He said there was a place on the east side called... what's it called? There was a restaurant called Shmulka Bernstein. Famous restaurant on the east side. Shmulka Bernstein. And it was like the kosher restaurant. And then in the forward, you know, this was years and years ago, they had an expose. One morning they came and somebody called the Mashgiach and said, go to Shmulka Bernstein, you're going to have a big surprise. And there were barrels of Mamish Trefa Chazer Schmaltz being delivered there. And it was all over the papers that they caught him with tarfus or whatever, and basically they're going to close the restaurant down, took away the Hechsher, and that was the end of the guy's business. in the end, it turned out that his competitor planted the barrels there, called the mashgiach, called the newspapers, destroyed the guy's thing. Mm-hmm. So they printed a retraction in the papers, but nobody cared. Once they saw Shmuel Bernstein's strafe, it's strafe. You know, all the attractions in the world, people get the first impression, that's the same thing over here. Moshe Badoy, 5 minutes later, is Marcus Ferraro, no reason to bother. Right, that's a retraction, like, you know, the back of the paper. At 12 o'clock, there was no Marcus Bechoris. That's what makes an impression on people. So, you're right. People remember, they heard that this Hechsher was no good or whatever. It could be it changed hands 15 million times. The OU changed hands. The people who are working with it now are different than ever we were before. But that's it. That's the way people are. And truthfully, for most people, it's not going to help. They don't care. You know, it's... Right, they don't want to know that, especially if it's something that they think they're being from. Right, and it works the other way too. Right, this was always kosher. Right, I now the mice they started using, you know, pig fat or whatever, but you know, but it was kosher. So it works both ways. People don't like to change; you get used to things, and that's the way it is. This was always okay, and it's going to be okay now too. And this was always not okay, and it's not okay now.
The chumra that. Not to eat meat that ever had a shayla.
Right.
Is that only played by me?
No. That's some people say that's one of the kinds of mahadrin that they don't allow things that have a shayla on it. But that's not across the board, right? Because sometimes the situation is so chomer and such a hafsid mamon that and the shayla is, you know, it's okay. So then it's not. It's mentioned by me, but supposedly that's one of the miles of Mahadran things. They don't care shame on things that were shilas. That then the question is, what's called a shila? Right? Sometimes the answer is that, well, it was never really a shila. So, right? Some things are a shila, but they're satirim. So that's also very subjective.
No, I was asking it the other way. For an individual who wants to be machmir, so does he have to worry about shilas that happens in the next year that there's psak that's okay?
According to Rav Yoshev, no. Because if he did, then Rav Yoshev would have said that you have an achrayus to tell people about it. Maybe they don't want to eat that. He said, no, once you went to somebody and he passed him for you, it's okay. Then they don't have to worry about their chumras or whatever. They can rely on the psak that you got. For them, it's a lechatchila, even though for the hechsher, it's a bediyeh. That's what he told us. Right? I don't understand 100%, but I trust Rav Yoshev, he knows what he's talking about. He's pretty from also. So, but this kashrus is really, really. In America, I felt much more comfortable, you know, because I knew what the places were. I knew who the people were involved, and I knew I could ask Chaim Goldzweig. He was a big mashgiach for the OU, and he was a bucky and everything. We used to bring him into Miami before Pesach. And he would answer everybody's questions or whatever. He knew every ingredient, everything from all over because he had to get the information. But here, Zunesher is a little bit like that, but he's very cautious. Chaim Goldzweig would say anything about anybody. He'd just tell you as it is, right? And usually with a very sarcastic, he was a lot of fun. But Zunesher is, when we came here, he's very, and he'll tell me, but he'll tell me that I can't publicize or whatever. I can tell my kehila. Because he doesn't want to start, you know, bashmutzing this one or that one, especially here, because it's sarkonis nefoshes. Alibi, that's all they do. So he's very cautious. So when he came here, he was extremely cautious. So a little bit disappointing. But I really didn't expect him to, you know, start telling people. And when he tells me, or tells Shimi, he tells him, look, this is for your kehila, you know, it's not public knowledge or whatever. And you don't have to go into details. Sometimes he told me, tell him why, just that's the way it is. So it's hard to, in these areas, right, sometimes you're hurting people or sometimes you're putting yourself in danger by publicizing things, good or bad. People don't like competition either, so I don't like you to say good things about their competitors. People don't like to be bashmut, so they surely don't like you say bad things about them. So it's I don't give any kibbat, nothing. Somebody, one of my granddaughters said they went into a place in Yerushalayim, they saw my name on it. but it's because I am responsible for my, the Ezor Tasiya Matityahu. I can't, there I have to get involved, unless there's some other Hechsher that comes in that's willing to give a Hechsher, and then I have a right to say that they have to have my name on it also. So there's some things down there with Badats, and I told them, look, I'm a Vater, I trust the Badats, they don't need my name on it. I'm not interested in making any money on it, and I'm really not, it's ridiculous. It's you know, in people's eyes, why do you need two people's names? The Badats is fine. So I trust the Badats, and I'm more than willing to let the Badats put their thing, and they don't need my name on it. But other places, for whatever reason, they don't have Badats or whatever, and they needed an Ishur, not a Hechsher, and then go down there and check or whatever. But I checked, they have a ice cream, drinks or something, for not ice cream store, drinks that were kosher to Pesach, non-kitnius, with the Hechsher of the Star K. All I said was, on their thing, is that I've checked into it, and the ingredients come from the Star K, and they have these freezies or something, I don't know if that's called, they put it out in stores in Yerushalayim, so the stores in Yerushalayim, they're the ones who accept it or whatever. They have to know that somebody says that if it comes with the Star K, that it's reliable. So all I do is give an assurance that it comes with the Star K, and it's reliable, that's all. That I saw the things from the Star K, or whatever, and if it comes from this source, that they can rely on it. That's the thing, but it's, so they have my name on it.
Well, when you go to all the like pitzuchim type of places, and so they, and they'll say, all of our you know, the chocolates, the candies, and everything are our best time, but they're not in the original packaging, so you have to rely on them.
So then, really, if the people are frum, and they tell you that this is where it comes from, you could trust them. Since the Muncie fiasco, that's what they were doing. Remember, the guy was repackaging and saying what the Hechsherim were, repackaged. So he didn't see the original Hechsher. And then they caught the guy that he was putting mamish trafis up. Not mahadri. Traf. Chickens. And saying that it had this and this Hechsher. People had a kasha of the kitchens, and it was a few years ago. From guy.
Right.
Maisi ran away, divorced his wife. It was a terrible, he had children learning here. The guy gave into his Yitzhahara, and he was making money, and he mamish fooled, mamish trafe chickens, which supposedly, so since then, they said you can't track, right, you can't trust even from people, right, you need a mashgiach. So,
it doesn't
better
to isn't the Rav Paskin that better not to be trusted mocher?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So in those kind of situations, somebody who has a vested interest, even though Erechad, he really should. He doesn't have hashgach on the place. Better not to be there.
Like for example, those you find in a lot of pitzuchim places.
Right.
You find these, including in Kiryat Sefer, but not only in Kiryat Sefer. You know, in these things where you have candies and right. It says on them best time.
So again, mistama, these kind of things. Mistama halachically you can trust them, but better. It's better that a person who has a store that he sells kosher eggs should have hashgacha to make sure that somebody else is looking over his shoulder. Because once a person has momentous involved, it begins a heart.
The same thing would apply to a restaurant or a caterer or a chasna that says, oh, yeah, all the ingredients are badadi, chavetius, and this, and the lettuce is gushkatif, and this.
Yeah. Again, I don't let those kind of hashgacha here in the moshav, where they don't have a hashgacha. However, I don't tell people to have negias because I have a daughter who bakes in her house. I can't give her a hechsher because I'd have to be, you have to send a mashgiach the whole time she cooks in her house. She uses a regular thing. You know, if she would have a separate oven and separate kalim and lock them up and have a mashgiach there every time she cooked, it would be one thing, but it was ridiculous. So there are a lot of things like that. So people ask me, I tell them, look, if you trust a person, right, and you know that they're, then you could eat it. Halachically, it's okay. But I can't tell you that it's okay because kehillah wise, right, I can't let it, you know, something officially for the kehillah, but what's it called? I can't tell you it's treif either. It's not treif, and people do this all the time. They have in Yerushalayim also people.
Or his pizza in Yerushalayim for years. I don't know if he has it now.
Now he has a bidvat.
But for years.
Right, and what's his name? Used to have, what was his name?
Hadar Geula.
Same thing. Now they have a Hechsher. So, I mean, people use it, and we have a right to use it, but as a institutional kehila thing, I can't. It's like I can't tell people, ask me, you give a hechsher to your daughter? I don't give a hechsher to my daughter. I'll eat her challah. I trust my daughter. But, and if you want to trust her, you can trust her too, but don't get me mixed into it. Right? You want to do it because I would eat it, it's fine. But the mice, it's just the same kind of thing. So they have other things.
You talk about a restaurant, something like that.
What?
You talk about a restaurant.
A restaurant's more, there's more of a Yetzer Hara for it. There's more things that could go wrong in a restaurant that the person could. They used to tie in about Hadar Geula. They're very nice people, they're from people, but they don't know everything when a Shaila comes up. Right? So how can you trust them? Especially with Shemitah things or whatever. So that's why you should tell people you shouldn't go there. If somebody went there and you trusted the people, you knew the people personally, is one thing. But otherwise, how do you know? You know, they're very nice people, well-meaning, but who said that they're becoming a chomet? I mean, somebody's a mashgiach there, sent by a rav, a machshir, so he knows what he's supposed to look out for. Even he can make mistakes of it, but still. There's somebody there who doesn't have a vested interest in the momentous. But, you know, real people can look away, not purposely, but, you know, it's a big loss, and probably it's okay, and, you know, and I once learned in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that, you know, it's a... So not really a big shaila, so probably it's okay. It's a big Yetzer Hara to do that. So, but to say it's treif or to say you can't use it, somebody wants to, somebody trusts the person, knows the people, they can use it. I'm not going to say it's treif, they can't use it. But you are asking me my advice, gets things with a hechsher from not the people who are just trustworthy if they're making money on it.
How does it work in our
Simcha Hall? I've never really had the problem. I've only had the problem with people baking for things, private things, that I won't let things off the moshav. Even if the people are, you know, because once you do that, then it becomes very who's yes and who's not or whatever. Once on the moshav, we can't have it.
No, I meant in the Simcha Hall when we have simchas.
People
from the outside.
To the best of my knowledge, all the caterers that come in have either Kiryat Sefer, Hashgacha, or Badach, or something like that. There's no case of somebody who's a private Hechsher who we trust because they happen to have a good name. That we don't bother. That, to the best of my knowledge, it's either Kiryat Sefer or Badach. We never had a Shiloh. Okay.